In the introduction, we can only consider the principles incarnation in that group of living beings we call mankind, but the same great principle is, of course, present in just as high a degree in the consciousness of all other living beings, as much in those who rank below mankind in development as those who rank above. 51. We have already seen that the influence of the dark radiation has long since become a fundamental factor in mankind's manifestation and mental life as a natural capacity and aptitude, and now begins to be undermined by the creative principle's light radiation. This undermining is constantly in progress, so the light radiation will at last be able to take over the position which the dark radiation possesses at present, and in the same way, as a natural faculty and aptitude, will become the fundamental factor in human beings' manifestations and experiences of life. But in order that this undermining can take place, the light radiation from the creative principle has to be clothed in that kind of energy or matter which can be comprehensible for human beings' sense perception. This means simply that it has to be transformed into thought pictures which are precisely so adjusted that they are neither too high nor too low in order to be suitable for their brain power. One has to remember here that the brain of the human being is responsive only to mental images of a certain specific intensity. Mental images which by nature are above this intensity become blurred, unrealistic and quite inaccessible to the individual, while mental images lying below that intensity are also blurred, becoming primitive and dissolving in our tilde macron vitae. And so the creative principle's light radiation, in order to become accessible to people, has to be transformed into mental images of such a suitable intensity or wavelength as can tune into their brain organs according to their development and experience. That kind of mental image in which the creative principle's light radiation is incarnated in our day is identical with what we call religious thought. And where this religious thought is of such a nature that it forms independent systems, these systems can be recognized as identical with those which are expressed as religions, and these split again into religious sects and church or religious communities. As the individual's brain organ changes with development so that it is gradually able to take in mental images of greater and greater intensity, so it is also able to receive the creative principle's light radiation in correspondingly stronger and more refined forms of mental images. And thus we see too, as we have begun to explain in the introduction, that mankind has little by little changed religions, or ways of faith, in that religions which had previously been fulfilling, stimulating and uplifting for individuals, gradually became outmoded or and new world concepts arose which later on in the same way became antiquated and primitive, and this continued in accordance with the extent to which people were able to take in mental images of a more radical and refined material or wavelength. 52. But as the creative principle has manifested itself in the form of religions, and each of these has animated their respective communities of people for thousands of years, and only after a certain time span has given way to a new release of this principle, we will see that this release only takes place intermittently. This again means that the unfolding of the creative principle, just as with other forms of unfolding in conscious energy, manifests itself rhythmically and periodically. Each such single rhythm, or periodic unfolding, will be expressed as an impulse in that it stimulates new creation and motivates the perfection of living beings' manifestation and spiritual life. And as in the case of mankind, each of these rhythms or impulses has given rise to new religions, new cultures, and new world concepts, and further, according to cosmic analyses, are interplanetary and reach far beyond the boundaries of this Earth. Indeed, out to other globes and humanities in other worlds. So in Levitsburg these rhythms have the name of cosmic world impulses. 53. If the Earth, as mentioned previously, is now proceeding towards the reception of a new and strong spiritual world impulse, this means that it is on the way to becoming the object for a new and strong release of the creative principle's light radiation, which, in line with the earlier impulses from that principle, will begin to stimulate and perfect mankind's development and spiritual life for thousands of years. 54. As well as the above-mentioned world impulses, There are other forms of impulses from the creative principle which are suitable for living beings which, with their appearance in microcosmic or macrocosmic forms, lie respectively below or above the human sphere of consciousness. The life and existence of such beings must naturally seem quite fantastic and incomprehensible compared with the ordinary idea of living beings held by people on Earth. Therefore, in the introduction, we will not go into the extensive material necessary to elucidate these factors but must be content to refer to the passages on cosmic world analyses in Levitsburg. But in order to give the student of this book a first impression of the extension and huge dimensions in which we here witness the creative principle, we must mention that some of the macrocosmic beings come to light for us in the form of what we call globes, solar systems and Milky Ways, and that the recognition of the identity of these realities as living beings will be seen as some of the first absolute principles for the cosmic seeker of truth. 55. Just as mankind and all other known forms of living beings live under the light and dark impulses from the creative principle, stimulated and carried forward in eternal evolution, so do the macrocosmic beings also live under those impulses, carried forward in a continuous process of development. But as these beings in relation to human beings appear in gigantic forms, so the impulses from the creative principle which have to promote their particular development also have to appear of gigantic proportions. One must not, therefore, think because the impulses from the creative principle which touch mankind are almighty from a cosmic viewpoint, that a possible world redeemer from such an impulse is almighty or omnipotent. On the contrary, such a being, although naturally appearing to earthly human beings as having a superior cosmic consciousness, is still limited and attuned by the particularly suitable world impulse of that time which it is that being's task to manifest. In order to understand this better, one has to learn to distinguish between our own connection to the creative principle in the form of world impulses and these macrocosmic beings' connection to the same principle. 56. In the same way as mankind as a whole comprises a community of human beings, so, too, do the groups consisting of globe beings, solar beings and Milky Way beings, each within its own spiral section and sphere of consciousness, also comprise a community of living beings. These again will be expressed respectively as globe communities, solar communities and Milky Way communities, just as the suitable impulses from the creative principle for each of these communities will constitute respectively globe impulses, solar impulses and Milky Way impulses. Again, in the same way as the creative principle's impulses towards the community of mankind are released through world redeemers, so do the same impulses find their release through specially initiated beings for those macrocosmic communities. 57. As the redeemers for the community of mankind, as well as the human beings themselves in that community, appear in miniature compared with the macrocosmic beings, so none of the redeemers of that kind will in any way whatsoever approach the necessary power to promote redemption for macrocosmic beings, however great, almighty and divine these redeemers may appear in mankind's consciousness. They can only be redeemers of human beings, and they have the title of world redeemers in Levitsburg only because the aim of their mission is always towards mankind collectively throughout the whole world. 58. The connection between the macrocosmic community of beings and the creative principle, on the contrary, can be released solely with help from beings of their own category of development and belonging to their own individual spiral section. So, as a redeemer, a globe community must have a globe being, a solar community a solar being and a Milky Way community a Milky Way being. And thus we come to distinguish between world redeemers, globe redeemers, solar redeemers and the Milky Way redeemers. Just as world redeemers are adjusted for the creative principle's stimulation in individuals among the community of mankind, so to are the globe redeemers adjusted for the promotion of the creative principle in individual globe beings in the globe community. Also solar redeemers and the Milky Way redeemers are respectively adjusted to the individual solar beings and Milky Way beings in the solar communities and Milky Way communities. Therefore the seeker of truth, regardless of how improbable it may appear to him, must adjust his mind to the fact that the universe is full of life and that the macrocosmos as well as the microcosmos consists of living beings, and that those macrocosmic beings' identity as living beings is no more improbable than, for instance, those cells in our own organism, those myriads of small particles whose identity as living beings has already been established by science. Just as these small beings find themselves inside our bodily system which constitutes their world, so we also find ourselves, by virtue of the same laws, inside those macrocosmic beings' physical systems or organisms which for us is our world. And, following cosmic analysis, as terrestrial mankind as a whole constitutes the brain organ of the Earth, or globe being, and each single individual constitutes one of the brain cells, then it will be easy to understand that one terrestrial man can just as little be a redeemer for a globe being, as one of the cells in our own body could be a redeemer for us. It is impossible for a living being to appear as a redeemer from the creative principle for a being in which it is only a cell or some other lesser bodily matter. Nonetheless, there are millions of people throughout the world who nowadays, through ignorance and superstition, invest their world redeemers with just such unreasonable and impossible dimensions. And it is precisely in order to remove and prevent this superstition that already in the introduction we have felt obliged to touch on these subjects which otherwise come in later sections of Leavittsburg. It is, in fact, necessary for every individual who wishes to appropriate full and divine cosmic consciousness, which in reality is the same as the biblical expression the Holy Spirit, to cleanse himself, or free himself, from all superstition. 59. There can hardly be any other factor in existence to which people have attached more superstitious belief than to their world redeemers. In many cases they have actually confused them with globe redeemers or solar redeemers, in that their superstition has acknowledged them to be the spirits of the world or even of the sun, an identity which is just as unreasonable and impossible as if one of the brain cells in a human being's body should be thought able to contain or express the entire manifestation of that same human being. And on account of superstition, mankind's perception regarding its world redeemers has been still further carried away from real facts, even to the point where such a being is acknowledged to be the Godhead himself and is worshipped as such. That the above-mentioned misconceptions by human beings regarding their world redeemers are of no small measure, one is witness to when, through the power of cosmic consciousness, one experiences that world redeemers have still nearly a whole spiral section, or more than five vast kingdoms or planes of existence to cover in development before reaching that sphere of consciousness where a globe being finds itself. It would be more than double the number before reaching a solar being's plane of existence, not to speak of a Milky Way being whose form of life experience would still have about 18 kingdoms or three spiral sections through which to develop. This evolutionary difference becomes still more fantastic in dimension when one accepts the fact that already in connection with the second spiral section all human phenomena appear in miniature, in the same way as relevant details in that same section, like a globe's lifespan of millions of years, have to be classed in the third section as being of a microscopic nature. Within the boundaries of this perspective the world redeemer becomes only a tiny godhead, and from the same perspective the acclaim and worship of mankind has a serious resemblance to heathenism and idolatry. But when it is evident that within the boundaries of the same perspective, heathenism and idolatry are in reality the same as true worship of God in embryo, this acts as a very extenuating circumstance, for the above-mentioned acclaim by living beings of the world redeemer is born of love and admiration for that being on account of his manifestation of the greatest demonstration of divinity yet shown to all mankind. And as people's faculty of intelligence until then could not nearly measure up to their faculty of feeling, then the disharmony we call superstition would necessarily arise in their consciousness. Superstition is actually a factor which arises when an individual's feeling becomes so prominent that through it he can experience realities which he still has not enough intelligence to express in reasonable images or to analyze accurately. Therefore, he has to provide the experiences of his superior emotions with images which would appear as the most probable to his very much inferior intelligence. Such images thus arise, in reality, neither from common sense nor from intelligence, but are feeling images. And so wherever these disharmonious images make their strongest appearance, they will be recognized as superstition. 60. Concerning terrestrial mankind's relationship to world redeemers, the real fact of the matter has been that it gave people a true sensation of the Godhead, an emotional experience which they had not the intelligence to be able to analyze or describe correctly. Therefore they had to be content with expressing these emotions with the most notable part of the poor intelligence material at their disposal, and as this wholly centered on the world redeemer, it was impossible for them to grasp the matter in any other way than by believing he must be the incarnation of the Godhead himself. All ideas of greatness, therefore, were invested in him. He had to be the Almighty. But as people were so minded because of superstition, then the world redeemer truly became for them the same as the Godhead made manifest in a form sufficiently toned down as to be a source of inspiration for all human beings and a shining guiding star in their temporary section of the course through eternal evolution. And so, in this way, superstition had become a divine blessing. But gradually, as people's intelligence grows and they become able to give their emotional experiences of the Godhead wider and the more rational expression, so the importance of the world redeemer becomes limited and little by little takes its natural place in their understanding of existence, and superstition vanishes. Still, it can happen that superstition is so fixed and crystallized that its dissolution is not always easy to balance with the individual's development of intelligence, and in the same degree as this is the case, it becomes in some respects like a form of dogma, a temporary hindrance to that person's development, but of course no greater than can gradually be conquered, thus ensuring that the genuine and true experience of God can become actual fact. 61. As mentioned before, the release of the creative principle takes place through rhythms or impulses appearing at certain intervals. The last great impulse of this kind for terrestrial mankind was of such a nature that it slowly split up into three lesser impulses, each of which in turn gave rise to a religion. Because each of these religions aimed at being propagated to all people, they are called world religions as distinct from those existing before, which were more in the form of national religions or faiths, each aimed at a particular people, nation or state. Of those three world religions, which in the form of Buddhism, Islam and Christianity have carried development of the creative principle forward to our day, Christianity became the offshoot through which the continuing New World impulse could be realized, and which will now unite all races on earth. This offshoot of the Old World impulse has spread out to the Western lands and peoples, and by its fusion with the all-prevailing dark radiation from the creative principle, or the power of the sword, it crystallized into a definite form. Under this form it was possible to invest the pure light impulse with such adaptability and sharpness that it was able to drive through the armor of darkness which represented the concept of sound reason and justice held by the West's uncivilized barbarians at that time. When a fine hand does coarse work, gradually a protective layer of hard skin is formed on the overexerted parts. Just such laws are also valid in spiritual areas. So in this case we must imagine the old world impulse as the fine divine hand. This hand's contact with coarse barbarianism produced a hard skin which guaranteed its suitability for constantly dealing with barbarism and undermining it as a result. The protective skin of the old world impulse is identical with that reality known over the whole of the Western world as Catholicism. This will not be difficult to understand when one takes into consideration that people in the West were still governed by the creative principle's dark radiation to such a degree that their greatest heroism was by the use of the sword, by revenge and by conquering and plundering other states and countries, while the condition for their place in the light after death was directly stipulated to be not by dying a natural death from old age, but by being slain by the sword. Confronted with such a totally dark state of consciousness and such concepts of reason and justice, the pure, light world impulse with its diametrically opposing ideas, its prohibition of revenge, its teaching to give rather than to take, to love one's enemies and to turn the right cheek when struck on the left, could not possibly be acceptable as ideal or rational, if they had not been combined with much of those primitive people's own habitual concepts, for instance the sanction to use physical strength. 62. And in association with the pure, light world impulse represented by Jesus of Nazareth throughout 1900 years, it is impossible to avoid realizing the fact that in the form of Catholicism it simply has had to use such methods as excommunication and burning at the stake in order to be able to push its way through at all. It was obliged to usurp power over kings and emperors, for in many cases in those days such persons were in reality brigand chiefs and gang leaders. So in order to penetrate through that armor plating of darkness, the light world impulse had itself to put on armor. And thanks to Catholicism, barbarism received its death blow, while millions of people appropriated so much from the light impulse that it enabled them to begin to understand it in such pure essence as emanated from the mouth of the Nazarene. They could thus begin to distinguish between this pure essence and the hard skin which it had incurred subsequently by its contact with the dark radiation. This had again resulted in such people deviating more and more from the fixed crystallization, beginning to progress independently and wishing to eliminate the intermixed element of darkness. Among such people are those we call reformers. The effect of those reformers was that schisms occurred within the crystallization. New religious tendencies appeared, each of which is to be recognized as one of the religious sects previously mentioned. The value of these sects would naturally be in relation to their source and would be more or less pure or impure according to how much their source had been pure or impure. But these sects, apart from the possible inspiration they may have been able to give to some of their members, have outwardly only created dissension and disturbance, in that each one of them aimed at winning over the whole world and each one proclaimed itself to be the one and only salvation. This easily led to the waging of war with each other, especially as the majority of members of such a sect still had not overcome what we express as the concept of intolerance. In this way, those sects became very extensively an expression of spiritual unrest, creating groups or associations which, indeed, if it had not been for the New World impulse coming into force, would have developed into religious communities warring against each other in such a way that growth towards one flock and one shepherd would have been impossible. And it is precisely on account of this spiritual or religious unrest that the New World impulse from the creative principle can now begin to find a foothold in the world. 63. Among the symptoms of this New World impulse, one can mention those powers reflected in new architecture, modern music and art. Here one must take into consideration that these realities are still only in the first feeble embryonic stages, and one day, when they reach their culmination and become classic, they will far outshine all hitherto existing forms of music and art. Furthermore, the New World impulse is also expressing itself in this century's strongly rising development of intelligence, which is concentrated in what we call science. This is another dawning result of that impulse and is already such a strong factor that without it mankind would not be able to lift itself out of the old primitive notions and prejudices with which its present world concepts are bound up. Science has thus been one of the main factors of assistance in enabling the New World impulse to reach the dawning of its first entrance into the zone of the earth. But the New World impulse also has symptoms of an unpleasant kind. These are reflected in the great political movements and revolutions of later times, along with sexual abnormalities, unhappy marriages and mental illness, a great many of which realities would be classified as reactions which necessarily arise when the New World impulse clashes with the old concepts or ideas about life. As already mentioned in Levitt's Bog, these reactions have been called the birth pangs before the birth of the New World impulse. 64. Concerning the New World impulse, there is one more point to mention, that while the world picture was shown only in a fragmentary and symbolic form of words through the old world impulse because of mankind's primitive standard of intelligence at that time, there were in it gleams of light on some important subjects and points of morality. However, through the New World impulse, that same world picture becomes manifested in its entirety, in fully intelligible chains of thought, visible and satisfying not only for human feeling but also for the now rapidly growing intelligence and the dawning of intuition. It will thus be manifested in all details in a form of teaching which is able to turn the great commandment, love one another, into a science, and by this means gradually prove and guarantee that the only real necessity for terrestrial mankind is the transformation of that very commandment into a natural faculty and aptitude, that it is the key to all the power of cosmic sensing. In other words, it is the talent to see God and thereby the source of all true beauty, joy, inspiration and perfect creation. 65. And so the fundamental and final result of the New World impulse will be that mankind's latent spiritual faculties of today will be brought forward to a fully usable condition, so that people will gradually be able to sense spiritually as easily as they now sense physically. They will come to experience the great birth, which is the entrance or gateway leading to the true experience of life, the experience of immortality and the experience of feeling one with all living beings. The prodigal son, in the form of mankind, will, through the new world impulse, be received by the Father. The shadows of darkness in the form of sorrow, illness and mutilation shall be no more, but the victory of love shining over all things will become an actual fact and will bring with it a lasting peace on earth. Symbol number 2. Impulses of the creative principle. World impulses. The creative principle's sign or hallmark in Levitsburg. A picture of terrestrial mankind's relationship with the creative impulses. 66. As we have mentioned in the foregoing section, the creative principle releases itself through impulses of greatly differing sizes. It releases itself through impulses just as suitable for macrocosmic as for microcosmic beings. To those impulses suitable for mankind we have given the name world impulses. Symbol number 2 is a material expression of terrestrial mankind's relationship to these world impulses. We must, then, imagine the whole symbol as an expression of a section of the universe itself. In this the creative principle appears as an unshakable basis for all formation of contrast or creation of opposing conditions, and therefore as the determining main factor in every form of life experience. At the top of the symbol that principle is expressed in the form of a shining body marked with a flaming cross, the creative principle's sign or hallmark throughout Levitsburg. From this shining body we see ring-shaped radiations spreading out. These are the expression of world impulses. On their way through the universe they pass through species of humanity in both large and small worlds. These are shown on the symbol as large and small circles. Approximately in the middle of the picture appears a circle with a double circumference. This represents mankind on this earth. We see further that three impulses are going through these terrestrial people, namely one at the bottom which is about to disappear completely from them, one which nearly fills the space, or dominates them, and one at the top which is beginning to gain a foothold. Of these three, the first one lies at the root of primitive mankind's religious and divine worship, and the second one indicates that impulse from which Buddhism, Islam and Christianity gradually developed and which in Levitsburg is expressed as the old world impulse. The third, on the other hand, expresses the new world impulse which now in our time is vigorously in the process of being born on earth. We thus obtain here a solidly concentrated picture of terrestrial mankind's relationship to the creative impulses. 67. Consciousness and mental life of terrestrial mankind, so do they also constitute the regulating basis of spiritual life for other humanities. On the symbol we also see that there are humanities far in advance, as well as far behind or at the same stage as terrestrial mankind. That is to say, there are humanities for whom the new impulse, which terrestrial mankind is only now about to receive, has long ago become fundamental, just as there are humanities which are only now about to receive the impulse of which terrestrial mankind has only a few remnants left, in the form of primitive people's religious worship. 68. The symbol can also be used to show the huge macrocosmic creative impulses. For example, if one would like the symbol to express Milky Way impulses, one only needs to imagine the circles as representing single Milky Way communities. If the symbol should express solar impulses, one could in the same way let the circles represent solar communities, just as one could let them be planet communities if one would like the symbol to represent planet impulses. But of course one must understand here that the impulses have to be considered of such dimensions that the previously mentioned world impulses would vanish into the invisible or into microscopic detail. We have thus witnessed that the creative principle in all its divine manifestation does not in any way constitute a reality limited by time, space or evolution, but unfolds itself freely through the whole universe in macro forms as well as in micro forms and details, whereby, through the power of its specific nature as the basis for all conscious life, it determines the individual's eternal sense of existing. Chapter 4. An International World State in Creation. 69. Through the foregoing chapters we have now achieved a general view of the world situation, as it has shaped itself for terrestrial mankind around the 1930s.